Welcome to True Vine Talks with Rachel and Linda.
Welcome back, everybody.
Today we have a good topic, one that shows up for lots of folks, lots of our clients, lots of our listeners. And the question that we have today is, I'm gonna let Rachel ask it.
Me to ask, yeah. Have you ever felt like you were the parent to your parents? And if the answer to that question is yes, then you might have an emotionally immature parent. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Yeah.
This is not an easy topic.
No.
In our, in the Christian community, we say honor, 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 honor your parents. And that is highly recommendable and greatly encouraged. And also, there's also some level of when you're being emotionally manipulated into believing that you're supposed to submit, conform, act, do everything for your adult parent. That's a little different than honoring. So I want to distinguish, is that the right word, Rachel? Kind of, contrast the two. There's a difference there. Is when you're the parentified child is different than being an honoring child to the adult parents. So just want
Yeah. So I
clarify.
guess today we'll talk about like honoring within reason. Like you can honor your parent and also acknowledge some shortcomings and how those have affected you personally, and what boundaries you may need to set and maintain for your own mental health and well-being. I don't think anyone needs to honor a parent without also honoring themselves. It's important that we honor ourselves too.
Yes, thank you. And when, Christ says, love thy neighbor as thyself, if you aren't taking care of your unmet needs, then you can't take care of your neighbor's unmet needs. And in today's podcast, the neighbor represents the parent.
Yeah.
You have to take care of you first.
Right.
And the question that she did a great little outline here, Rachel did, is what is emotional immaturity? That's a great question.
Yeah. So someone who is emotionally immature is very reactive. They get angry quickly. They have a really hard time, possibly even unable to regulate their emotions. Right? They're defensive. They blame other people for things. They can be very self-centered. Like, if you notice, if you're having a conversation with a parent and, like, for some reason, it always ends up getting like turned back around, it's all about them, and you're always the one at fault or to blame. That's a clue. Maybe might be dealing with an emotionally immature parent. What
And
else?
yeah, that you've got a great outline here, the rigid thinking, the black and white views, that it's all or nothing, like you can't have a differing view on or a political idea or a differing belief about something in your own religion or in a different religion. Everything has to be, you are an extension of them. You're nothing more than what you can do for them. More or less, just
Yeah.
you're a servant to their own emotional unmet needs.
There's a lack of empathy. They're not able to understand how you are feeling. They only understand how they're feeling, and they probably don't understand it all that well because they're so reactive.
Yeah, there's a lack
Yeah.
of awareness. that,
Huge lack of awareness.
yeah, that how they're behaving, their actions, how it's impacting you as the child. Nor,
And also, go
yeah,
ahead, please go ahead.
you go ahead.
I was going to say also a lack of accountability. Like they're never going to take accountability for their actions because in their mind, they're reacting to what you've done. So it's all your fault that they act the way they do or whoever's.
Nor is there a willingness to learn how maybe their behavior's impacting their adult child. Like, when I just, spontaneously show up, didn't talk to you about it, and, I don't care that you have a job, or I don't care that you had some events already scheduled. They just sort of, they're just childlike. Yeah, just childlike, more or less.
Yeah, it's kind of like dealing with a toddler that like has all these big feelings but doesn't know how to manage them or what they're about or the self-awareness. Yeah.
They
Very
call
impulsive.
it a, yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying very impulsive. Yeah.
Yeah, and they'll call you up and say, "Hey, come over here and help me move. I've just decided that I'm going to move. Come over here and do my laundry."
And expect you to drop everything right then and there and go and help them. And if you don't, you're ungrateful and disrespectful and you don't care.
How could you dishonor your mother or father like this? Didn't raise you to be this way. Yeah, you raised me to be your servant.
Yeah.
Not
So it's
healthy.
kind of leading into how it impacts the children, which is going a little out of order from what we have written down, but people pleasing shows up if you've been raised by an emotionally immature parent. If I don't do everything for everyone around me, I'm so afraid that they'll get upset and it will create chaos and I'll feel unsafe. So I need to just do whatever I can to keep the peace. So I drop everything and I just do for others.
And because you fear retaliation of some sort, like name calling, smacking, hitting,
Guilt tripping.
guilt tripping, you're a terrible person, all the, the manipulation, psychological warfare that comes with being a parentified child.
That's called emotional manipulation. They want you to feel bad so that you do what they want you to do, which creates a lot of shame for the child. Chronic self-doubt. I must be the problem. I must mess everything up and get everything wrong.
I'm not lovable.
Or I'm difficult to love.
Difficult to love.
Yeah, it creates the foundation of codependency. So children that grow up in this type of environment have a really hard time establishing healthy relationships because they haven't been taught healthy boundaries. They've had someone just bulldoze any attempt of setting a boundary their entire life.
And you'll know it, Rachel, because you'll feel it, and your gut will say something just doesn't feel okay about this interaction. I can't quite put my finger on what it is, but when I'm around them, something feels off or uneasy, and I can't. Yeah, it's a very, your inner child's always trying to get, "Hey, do you see me, mom and dad? Do you know I'm here? Am I enough? Did I do enough? Am I good enough?" And the echo chamber says back to you, "Do more, help me, send me on a cruise, buy me a new car, make me feel good, rub my feet." I mean, just all the servants, like just wanting you to somehow make them into a baby again and help them. Like the parentified parent makes you feel like you're having to meet needs that their parents didn't meet for them. And you can't do that because you're the kid.
Right. They put you on this pedestal and expect you to, kind of be their emotional support system. And that is reverse, complete reverse from the way that it is supposed to be.
Yeah, that's so true. And you're shooting in the dark, you're shooting in the dark, right? Like if you're a parentified child, you're just like, well, what can I do today? What could I say? What activity could make them feel good? How could I occupy them? You're managing, your inner managers show up with a emotionally immature parent a lot. You develop those.
People pleasing and conflict avoidance, which leads you to not set boundaries, to be reassurance seeking from others because you're always trying to make sure that you're good enough and worthy and valuable and lovable and all things, which is a basic human need. So it's understandable, but you're not sure how to get that need met in a healthy way because it's never been modeled for you.
Yeah. And I'm looking at our outline. Is that the how it shows up in parenting? Well, we talked about that, right? We covered.
Yeah, how it affects you as an adult.
Oh, this is good. How does it affect you as an adult to be a parentified child growing up and still a parentified child, even if you're setting limits? Well, you go above and beyond, and I'm an anxious pursuer, so you know me. I'm going to go cr too much, like just too much. You're a giver, so you're constantly trying to prop people up. And the pure intentions are good. They're good. It's just maybe you overdo, and then you'll start to feel some resentment for that person because they're not showing up in the same way because their parents weren't parentifying
Right.
so your adult relationships get a little tricky.
Yeah, it's hard to tell people no. Or you could go the other direction and be hyper independent and not want anything to do with anyone else. Not want people relying on you, not want to help or caretake anyone at all. Be like rigid with boundaries.
And that would be the avoidant, right? The avoidant kind of attachment style. It's like, whew, I can do this alone. Don't bother me. Get out of the way. I like this part in her book. And can I just do a little note there where she,
Please.
this was so good. She said that the parents that are emotionally mature make you, the child, a predictable fantasy character.
Oh, tell me more about that predictable fantasy character.
So you are a part of their storybook, their fantasy storybook, and your role is in their mind, you are one of the seven dwarfs that helped get you ready for your big outing. So you're one of those characters that's beneath them because there's a level of ego narcissism that they have due to them not getting what they needed as a child. So they're very much 3 to 6 years old kind of thing. So you're just a person, a character in their story. So when you interact with them, and you found out your own core identity, and you are being your true self, that authentic self rubs them the wrong way because you're not in their fantasy storybook anymore, playing the one of the dwarfs that helps her get to her, her destination for her prince.
They're the main character. That's what you're
Yes.
saying. and everyone else is like a side character that's supposed to be helping and supporting them achieve their ideal. Gotcha. Yeah.
Snow White, yeah.
Yeah. And so when your life purpose, right, it doesn't line up with helping them achieve everything that they're, which is not supposed to. You're supposed to have develop your own identity and life purpose. Yeah.
And whatever that need is, Miss Rachel, like it's like whatever the need is, it doesn't even matter if it's helping them nurture their inner baby, if that means you're rubbing their toes, whatever you need to scratch in there. I mean, all the things could even be look like that in their fantasy book. It doesn't have to be that they're grown or they're a hero. It's just
Right.
whatever didn't get met as a kid, they're looking at their children as those parts in their fantasy to meet that need, and they can't get out of that mindset. That generation of people that didn't get help because, well, let's give them a break. It was stigmatized to,
Majorly stigmatized, yeah.
yeah, so they did parentify their kids because they didn't know what they were, they didn't know how to get their needs met emotionally at all, at all.
Yeah, they may have come from a family where they were parentified, and the family before them, and so that could, will it be normal to them? This is just how we live. We expect our kids to take care of us, but that's not like the natural state of like human being.
Yeah, that is so true. And she mentioned this too, and there's like the self-effacing. Have you ever heard that?
I have, but I couldn't, I can't recall the definition off the top of my head.
Can I read that to you from the chat GT there? It's so good.
Sure.
The positive effects is that if I'm always kind of talking about my flaws, you know, self-effacing, that makes other people feel comfortable because they feel more relatable because it looks like I'm up here humble. But the learned behavior is when I was a kid, I couldn't one up my mom or dad. I couldn't be the star. That takes away from their narcissism, schism. I'm not calling them narcissists, narcissism. And then they can't be the star of the show. So I've gotten used to that learned behavior of just being deflated and not seen, but make sure I'm propping them up. And the negative side effects is lack of recognition. It looks like I have a lot of insecurity or, you know, all that self-effacing. People start to look at you like, well, are you really a stable person? If I'm constantly, you know, comedians, for example, comedians self-efface a lot.
Yeah, that's a good example.
Yeah. And it's great to be humble and comical about self, but there is a level of learned behavior from the star of the show, the parentified parent. Yeah, you're
Gotcha.
the child that's being the parent, you know. So
Yeah.
you couldn't be too seen, right? On the scene. Am I saying too much? I'm just talking too.
No, I think that's making sense. Yeah, I'm just taking it all in. That's good. I haven't read the book yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the author of that is Lindsay Gibson. Yes. I'm not
Nice.
sure I had her name
Yeah.
correct. Yeah. But isn't that
Yeah.
that's
It's
something?
neat. Yeah. I know she does talk about four different types of emotionally immature parents. Do we want to get into that?
Yes, I didn't have them in my head, but you've got them written down,
Yeah.
so that's
I do
great.
have them written down because I have heard about this in another book. So the four different types, there's the emotional, driven, passive, and rejecting. And so emotional parent would be the parent that is always in tears. They're always crying and upset, or they're always very angry. They're emotionally reactive all the time. And you feel like you're walking on eggshells around them because it seems like it doesn't matter what you do, it's always upsetting them. And it's always your fault, according to them.
You made them feel some kind of way.
Yeah. And then the driven parent, the emotionally immature driven parent, is the perfectionist, high achieving, emotionally disconnected. This person is like living vicariously through their child. They want you to be the major league ball player that they could never be. They're more concerned about your grades and how you perform in extracurriculars than they're concerned about your well-being and how you're doing as a person.
I can get toxic.
Yeah. And so as a child, you learn that, like, I'm only lovable if I'm achieving. Yeah. If I'm impressing people in some way.
The star athlete.
The straight A student, the honor roll, you know. Yeah. And so what happens to children that grow up with that type of parent is if they want to do something, but they feel like they're not going to automatically be really good at it, they won't do it at all. They won't even try. They don't have a growth mindset. They don't have a belief that I can be bad or mediocre at something and put in the effort and put in the time and the practice and become good at it, or just do something for fun, even though I'm like not the best. And so they lose huge parts of themselves because maybe they're interested in learning how to play the guitar or the piano, but they're afraid that they won't be the best at it, so they won't even try.
That makes sense.
Then you've got the passive parent, and this one is really sad because this is like when there's a lot of abuse and chaos happening in the home. The passive parent is the one that kind of just like stands back and doesn't do anything about it. They won't assert themselves or set boundaries or stick up for their children because they're so afraid of conflict. And they're only concerned about maintaining their own inner peace. They just kind of like end up living in their own little fantasy world.
And then the child's left to deal with the chaos. And they can't manage the chaos because they're tiny and it's scary.
Right. They need someone to step in and say no for them because they don't have the ability as a child.
They just don't.
Yeah. And then the rejecting parent is the last one, and that's the parent that tells a child that you're being too sensitive, you need to get over it, you're fine.
Dismiss it.
Totally dismissive.
It's not safe to have feelings or a voice here.
Right.
That's you have to stuff it then. That's not healthy either for the body.
Yeah. So aside from, the passive one, I did give an example that involved abuse. Rejecting could bring up there's some emotional abuse that could fall into all of these, but overall, I think it's important to point out that most of these are not actually involving the abuse that we think of when we kind of first think of child abuse. And the reason I bring that up is because I have so many clients that start therapy and we're doing the intake assessment and I'm asking about their childhood and their parents because I want to learn about their attachment. And so many people say, I really don't have a lot to complain about when it comes to my childhood. I had a fairly good childhood. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but nobody's is. And my parents did their best and we have good relationship now. And that's really common. And that is like Most of the time, what I hear from the child of an emotionally immature parent or parents, right?
Yeah. And they may have accepted their identity as the parentified adult and not even realize it.
Right.
Well, this is just the way it is. I take care of their needs, whatever their needs are. They did work, they did, kept me alive and they provided food and shelter. So that's more than enough. Even though they're beating each other up or fighting and cursing and calling each other names and Oh, that's fine.
Or
That's fine.
just always crying because, like, they had a bad day at work and now it's your responsibility to do something to make their day better, or, yeah.
Shoot. I exhausted myself doing that as a kid. All that did was get me more work to do. The more I would try to pacify and assuage their life struggle, the more was expected. So that didn't help me. So I highly discourage parentified adults from that action tendency to try to soothe and mediate and mitigate, whatever the word is, to
All of that, yeah.
pacify what? Well, they need to go to therapy and they need to reparent their inner baby. Notice I say baby to get better instead of depending on their adult child to meet all those needs in life. That's a crazy task.
They're going to keep depending on you until you no longer make it an option. So
Correct.
you're preventing their progress by continuing to swoop in and save the day.
So we encourage folks or our listeners or clients, whoever's listening, if you are a parentified child, to learn some limits, to learn how to know as an answer. Know as an answer.
Yes, a full sentence. No, period.
The answer is no.
Yeah.
No, I won't buy you a new car. No, I won't take you on a million trips to feed your inner child's pit of desire to feel something, whatever the something is, elated for that matter. It's an
No, I'm not
ongoing.
gonna answer 10 phone calls from you every day while I'm working, and yeah.
Taking care of your own children, your own house. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do people need to do as far as healing and moving forward? You're listening, you realize, oh wow, I think I may have an emotionally immature parent. What do I do about this?
Well, this wonderful author suggests, and I highly recommend to lots of my clients, if you can possibly cut off the parent for a time period with the understanding that maybe there'll be a repair. If they're super toxic and you find yourself in a like panic attack or downward spiral every time you interact with this parent, if you can completely cut them off, I highly recommend that for a time. If there's no change of behavior once you say, hey, when you do ABC, then I feel bad and they don't care and they keep overriding, that's when I say it's time to cut them off for a while. And folks don't like that. It feels very foreign and very scary and uncomfortable because we love to be comfortable with whatever we grew up with,
Right.
familiar.
Yeah. So you're starting with boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
If you do that, if you continue to criticize me, I will leave, those sorts of things. You're giving them a chance to respect the boundary. If they continually disrespect and override that boundary, then Linda, what you're saying is no contact.
For a while.
Yeah. That's the consequence. There has to be consequences.
And then if they during that time frame you get true to yourself and who you are and what you're doing in life, and you decide and feel compelled by the Lord or by your own accord to reach out to that parent. You say, I'd like to see you. And you call them and you say, would you like to meet for a coffee or something? And if they go into giving you a guilt trip for the time and space that you gave yourself, well, okay, we'll re-meet when you're ready to respect me as an adult.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a hard thing to do.
It's a very hard thing to do, and it's important to acknowledge that you and I are supporting people doing this right now. Not everybody will support them doing this. I have so many clients that they're in a phase of their life where they have to do this for their own mental health and the safety and well-being of not only themselves, but also their family and their children. And
Yeah.
I am always shocked by the amount of friends and family in the client's life that disapprove and say things like, oh, but that's your mom, but that's your dad.
Oh.
Yeah.
They will guilt trip you to no end. So I ask the client, what is the purpose in them guilt tripping you into feeling bad for setting a limit? Well, now they might have to show up for that person. Now they might have to do something different in their life if they see you interacting different. It makes people uncomfortable when you change the dance in your family, generational trauma. It makes people uncomfortable. And they're like, and they have to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tell them they clearly do not fully understand how much this is impacting your daily life. This is not easy for you to do. This was not an easy choice or decision for you to come to. This is
No.
not impulsive. This is not out of resentment. Like, this is a well thought out, healthy choice that you are making that is best for you.
Well said. Well
And if
said.
people can't understand and respect that, then that's on them. Don't let
Okay.
them convince you that you're doing something wrong. Yeah.
No. No. That's good. And you can't just keep, and people will bring to me, with the scripture, and someone's like, well, it does also say, hate thy mother, hate thy father, hate thy brother, and follow me. So when people bring that up, I'm like, well, sometimes for you to carry out your life purpose, you have to cut people off that are interfering with your path. And that's a scary thing. It's like, wow, this person doesn't want me to do my life's calling or my, like with Rachel, be the best counselor she can be and be the best mom she can be. They're trying to interfere with that. So why would Rachel keep them on her road, life journey?
Right. You're either adding to my life or you're out of it at this point. I'm like, and
Yeah,
that
you.
might sound so harsh to some people, but that's how I've chosen to live.
Yeah, but you've made the deposits and there's no returns. You can't keep depositing into an empty vessel. So, yeah. And
Yeah.
I love that. Guard your heart and keep your path good. If you want to come join me for some fun in the sun at the beach, let's go do it. Talk about positive things. No gossip, no darkness, no negativity. Let's do it.
Yes, that sounds awesome. Yeah.
And that's
So
okay for you to
there's,
say that.
yeah. And so in the boundaries and possibly going no contact, it's like there's a level of grief that arises. Even
Yeah.
if you choose to keep that parent in your life, there still may be a level of grief that arises for the parent that you deserved and you longed for. That you never got, and the acknowledgement that you never will have that version of a parent in your life. That can be really hard.
Yeah. And this is where letter writing comes in for folks. If you're listening, write a letter to the parent you longed for. Dear mom that I would have loved to have had, you were gentle. You took me to the park. You were kind. You were You gave me snacks. You described the mother you longed for, in that letter. And you say, I'm sorry that the mom I've had, I didn't get to have. And I recognize that the mom I did have, she did her best. She did her best with what she knew. So it's like a two parts. You're grieving what you longed for, and then you're accepting what you had and what you didn't have.
Yeah.
Is that right, Rachel?
Yes, that's very right. Yeah.
And that's
Yeah.
honoring. Like, hey, I accept that you are who you are.
That is honoring. You're so right. Yeah. And then you start the process of reparenting that we talk about so often on this podcast, where you acknowledge, I'm now an adult and I am my mom now, or I am my dad now to my inner child. And when you come across a moment where that inner child is feeling hurt or afraid, you respond to it as if that's your own child. Right? Yeah. You're nervous about going to this event where all these people might be looking at you. That's an intimidating situation to be in. Right? What would help you feel comfortable, confident, and safe?
Good parenting.
Yeah. Pew, I think it feels maybe silly or awkward at first to kind of like have these conversations with yourself, but the more you practice it, the more natural it feels. Promise.
It gets better and
Yeah.
better. I've never had a better father than God. And every time I need to hear something good, he'll reassure me and say, Linda, you're doing a great job helping people. Isn't that
Yeah.
wonderful to hear? Versus, you could
Yeah.
be doing more. Why are you so lazy? Why didn't you do A, B, C, D? I'm like, that's not helpful parenting.
No.
So,
Yeah. That's that rejecting parent.
yeah, the critical parent she describes in there, the rejecting parent, like you're saying. Yeah. This is so good. I'm so glad we touched on this today.
Yeah. Yeah. Find other emotionally safe relationships outside of your parents, people that
Absolutely.
you can go to talk about things. If you can't go to your parents or caregivers that
Yeah.
raised you, yeah.
Hopefully it's a secure, safe sibling. I've got one of
Yeah.
those, and then some friends and church family or colleagues.
Yeah, whoever. Just make sure they're safe, they're not critical, they're not rejecting, they're not taking from you and not, giving anything in return.
So good. Well, we're so grateful you guys listened to our podcast. Is that all we had for them today?
I think so. Hopefully we've kind of taught people what an emotionally immature parent is, looks like, how that might impact the child, and what you can begin to do to heal.
Good job, Rachel.
Yeah.
Until
Until
next
next
time.
time, bye.
Bye.